The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology. So, let's stir it up a little bit here.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Where could DK go? I've got a team to do it.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I am talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Oh. Dallas has taken a step back, and Philadelphia, with the aforementioned A.J. Brown, could zoom right past him.
Today's guests, 12-year NBA veteran Rex Chapman, co-host of ESPN's Pardon the Interruption, Michael Wilbon, Jets defensive end Jermaine Johnson, Packers running back Aaron Jones, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live from Los Angeles, California, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, right here on NBC Sports Audio Sirius XM Channel 85. We say hello to our terrestrial radio audience listeners and those listening on Odyssey, our podcast, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for anything that you might miss over the next 3 hours. But our intention is to keep you glued to whatever you're watching or whatever you're listening to, because we've got some great guests, and we've got nothing better to do, so we hope maybe you're in that position as well.
No lies detected.
Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo, good to see you in your positions here on this good Thursday. Good to see you, Jess.
I'm doing awesome. Just don't chant at me, okay?
DJ Jefferson, good to see you lighting the candle over there. What's going on?
Two games away from the worst thing that could possibly happen? Well, more worse than you winning the fantasy league.
It's not going to happen.
Okay. As you hear the cackling from over in that position.
It's not going to happen.
What do we do? Rich, how can we stop this?
I don't know.
It's not going to happen.
Help us, Rich, your only hope.
Here's how we're starting the show. I am genuinely concerned about my Golden State Warriors right now. I am genuinely concerned about my Golden State Warriors right now because they are focused on the wrong stuff. They are focused on the wrong stuff. They shouldn't be looking for earmuffs. They got to get something going on off the bench. They got to get something going on with Draymond Green. They got a good game from Klay Thompson last night, one of his best games in the playoffs.
They did get a good Klay game.
Okay. If you had told me going into game three that my Warriors were going to get a combined 36 from Curry and Thompson, I'd say, okay, 56. We're good in the hood here. 56.
36, you'd be in trouble.
Oh, I know that. You tack on Wiggins 18, I'm like, okay.
Yep.
Okay. But when you give up 27, 26, and 24 to Brown, Tatum, and Marcus Smart, and you get hardly anything out of Draymond Green, you are in trouble. You are in absolute trouble. Draymond Green, folks, last night, the rare almost 1-2-3-4-5-6 stat line. One block, 2 turnovers, same number of points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 6 fouls. Just missing the 5 there. Or the 5 was the bye-bye that was waved at him by the potty-mouthed Celtics fans. And again, this is the sort of stuff that you hear from teams
who lose. Yeah.
This is the stuff you hear from teams who lose, complaining, focusing on the wrong stuff. And I know I'm just cherry picking sound bites here, but sometimes sound bites are indicative of a mindset and a drain potentially beginning to circle. And this is what everyone's talking about today when it comes to the Warriors, because the Warriors we're used to seeing in the NBA Finals, winning more than not and imposing their will. Here was Klay Thompson last night when he was asked about the crowd, because this series, as you know, moved to Boston. In case you were wondering where it was, couldn't notice the makeup of the floor, the design of the floor, and the color of the
They burned his name in the parquet floor.
Okay. In case you didn't notice, you didn't hear it. This is the question of Klay Thompson everybody's talking about today.
Crowd in the environment tonight, and how much was that a factor in the game?
It was not a factor. We played in front of rude people before, dropping F-bombs with children in the crowd. Real classy. Good job, Boston.
I love Klay Thompson. I mean, come on.
Shut up. I mean, it's 10 o'clock at night.
Well, I mean, the kids are definitely in bed.
Yeah, I mean, who's talking about?
Look, it's Boston, Massachusetts. It could have been the kids using those words.
Come on.
Look, honestly, this is... And he played a terrific game. And this, I don't believe, is the reason why they lost last night. But it is indicative of their mindset. I mean, this is a team that's won a road playoff game in 24 consecutive series. I want to hear something from, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've heard this language before. We've been in tough spots before. We've got rings from this whole thing. We've been here before, you know. More power to them. Bring it. That's what I don't know. Where did that come from? I saw a video on Twitter of somebody posted in response to this soundbite from Klay Thompson of LeBron being cursed in pretty nasty manner by a Warrior fan leaving in an NBA Finals game. Smash cut to Klay Thompson on the podium is the winner, basically saying, yeah, I guess, quit crying. I'm essentially paraphrasing. He didn't use those words, but that's his phrase. And now he's like, good job, Boston. Like, where's the toughness of the Warriors? The toughness of the Warriors is the imposition of will by not only the shooting, but also Draymond Green. And Draymond Green is absolutely not showing up in this series in the same way that we have seen him show up in championship series. And here is him assessing his own play. By the way, using some potty mouth language with his own son sitting next to him.
Yeah.
So you played. You
know, like,
what was the difference this game?
I just think I never found a rhythm. Really on both ends of the floor. So not enough force, but just got to find a rhythm quicker.
And so here's where it's going as well. The stuff with Draymond Green, when it doesn't go well, and the stuff with the Warriors doesn't go well with Draymond Green, here's the issue, is when his mouth and his very significant advantage of getting in your face doesn't work because he's not imposing his will with his passing. By the way, he cracked the top 10 list in terms of all-time assists for the NBA Finals. You know, his next on the list is Hondo. He's next on his list.
All that.
I mean, he normally beats you with his passing. He'll beat you with all doing all the dirty work. But when the dirty stuff like throwing Jason Tatum down isn't working, and then all we're hearing instead is his sound bites and his commentary, not just after the game, but his own podcast, then comes the criticism of you're more interested in your podcast than you are in winning games, which is not fair. But that's the sort of stuff that builds, and then his frustration level builds. And if the game isn't going well and the third quarter burst that we saw again from them last night doesn't work, then you got a problem. When Draymond Green's stat line doesn't live up to his bullying on the court, and you can just laugh it off, that's when the frustration sets in and the entire team, and they're starting to have rabbit ears about the potty mouth language of the crowd. And I'm genuinely concerned. Because Jordan Poole, the 30-point Jordan Poole burst off the bench, other than just some major wow 3-point splash at a buzzer in game two, he just had 10 points. They're not getting anything off the bench. They're not getting much from Draymond Green, and that might be all she wrote. And guess what? They didn't get 15 to 23 shooting from three from Horford, White, and Brown last night, and they still got whipped. So the Celtics are proving they can beat you in another way than just a three-point barrage to come back in a fourth quarter in game one of this series.
Yeah, they actually, the Warriors, made two more threes than Boston did last night. It was 15-13.
So you can't just look at the stat sheet and go, yeah, well, they're not going to do that again and we'll win. They didn't do it again in game three. And you lost by double digits after coming back in the third quarter and making it a game. And the Celtics are like, screw you. See you later. I'm concerned about the Warriors there. Let's talk now about what the Celtics are doing right. They're a better team. They play better team basketball right now. Yep. They're deeper. They're deeper. They're younger. Can I say they're hungrier? It sure looks it.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Brian Windhorst came on the program yesterday from the worldwide leader in sports and says, look, we're talking about this technical foul nonsense and whether Draymond Green should have been ejected or not. He goes, there's one thing we should be talking about. If the Celtics are going to turn the ball over like crazy, if they're going to turn it over like crazy, they're going to lose. And he gave us the under-over line of 15 turnovers. The Celtics had 12 last night. And there was a time. And so remember I asked him yesterday, Chris, about, and TJ and the rest of our crew, I asked Windhorst, I'm like, so what do you do if you're the Celtics? You know this too, right? The coaching staff knows this. Yeah. Brad Stevens knows this. Ime Udoka knows it. What do you do? How do you handle stopping all the turnovers? Well, here's one way to do it. Put up the tweet. This is from a guy who's been covering the Celtics since 1985, Steve Bulpet. He said, Udoka, after the team committed some bad turnovers, entered the huddle of a timeout and said simply, will you guys stop playing like a-holes? Sometimes it's that simple, right?
This guy is awesome.
Sometimes, like, what's the secret sauce of coaching? Just go ahead.
We're playing like a-holes.
Plain and simple.
So I guess it's not just the fans using potty mouth. And it worked. What, one turnover in the fourth quarter last night?
Yeah, I think one turnover.
There you go.
After six in the first quarter.
Will you guys stop playing like a-holes? By the way, maybe that's the first line that you can say when you're standing in front of a huge crowd at a duck boat parade.
Easy. Two games.
Well, you're the one who started the show that way, cackling over there like the Wicked Witch of the East over there.
He was cackling, man. Okay. He was cackling.
And the Celtics are two games away. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. The Warriors have two more shots now to come up with a road win in a 25th consecutive playoff series. And if they don't, this thing's a wrap. This thing is a wrap. Doesn't matter if this does go back, you know, for a game six, if the Warriors lose game four Friday night. And that's the other thing, too. There's a quick turnaround here. It's just one game of rest, and Steph was down on the court wincing in pain. Like, could the Celtics even be healthier? Just saying a lot with one of their best underneath the basket and in the paint, limping up and down the court. Do you think Robert Parrish could run better right now than Robert Williams?
Jeez.
Right now?
Maybe.
Like, could Parrish be the better running Robert? Honestly, Grant Williams is in Draymond's head. The fans are chanting nasty language, and Klay Thompson is talking about that. I mean, honestly, the Klay Thompson answer should be, how many players, just, you even know the answer. You can look off to the side at the whoever's running things PR-wise. Like, how many playoff series in a row have we won a game on the road?
All of them.
Right. We've been in tough spots. Yeah. We've been in tough spots before. We've been in tough buildings before. Just, wasn't our night tonight. See you Friday. Not like good job, Boston, F-bombs in the crowd and all of that stuff. Just gives me so much pause. It's just Draymond's got to come up with one of his classic 8 point, 10 rebound, 12 assist, 3 block games. It's just, he's got to do it. In the same way I was calling for one of those Harden triple doubles in the playoffs, we got to get one of those from Draymond. When I say we, I mean the Warriors. Because that's our fan base, yeah. Because I said before the season they were going to win it all, and they're 3 wins away from doing it, and we're 2 Warriors losses away from having to deal with the likes of this guy and everybody else like this guy.
I'm just saying, either outcome is just going to be bad for Del Tufo and I. We're going to have to either hear you.
Yeah, but I'm not going to cackle about it.
Well, it's going to be my Warriors, and then he's just going to like laugh, and he won't say anything. But his silence is going to be more annoying,
honestly,
than him actually talking about
hand
it.
Hand on a Bible. You don't even need to put a hand on the Bible. You don't even need to swear to a loved one on their heads. You know which one is easier to deal with. You know which one's easier to deal with. You know deep down in every fiber of your being, TJ Jefferson, which one's easier to deal with. You know it. And he's smiling like the Cheshire Cat over there because he knows it too. Do not unleash that beast. Golden State Warriors, do not unleash that beast. Earmuffs on if that's what you need. Let's get Poole going off the bench. And by the way, the Celtics defense is just smothering. Let's get him off the bench. Let's get Draymond going. Come on, Draymond. You want to show up on your pod for Colin Coward and the rest of those people over there like your warrior? You're winning. You want that, right? Let's go. Come on now. Turn up the volume on that.
Rich, you said don't unleash the beast. The problem is, after yesterday, I don't know what to do to stop that beast. I just gave it to you.
Better production off the bench, better production from Draymond. Let's get things going.
But Draymond, I don't know if you're going to get, like, you wanted a 30-point, 40-point triple-double out of Harden, and I knew that wasn't possible.
He came up with one. He just didn't come up with more than one.
But Draymond, I don't know, man. He's out there doing a lot of talking, and he ain't backing nothing up. So,
we have 2 guests to talk about it. Rex Chapman's first up.
He just keeps grinning over there. It's starting to annoy me now, Rich.
And then Michael Wilbon second up. I should be grinning too, because the guy who I had no at all thought the Jets could wind up having after the first round of the draft is coming on this program. Certainly after they go Sauce. And then they go Garrett Wilson. And then why the hell did Jermaine Johnson drop all the way down to late first round and the Jets pop back in and grab him? He's going to be joining us from Jets organized team activities. And then Aaron Jones, one of our favorites from the Green Bay Packers in hour number 3. And you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The LIV Tour, or as the PGA Tour commissioner refers to it, the Saudi Golf League.
Wow.
Has teed off in London. Has teed off in London.
We got 6 holes to play, Rich.
Tom Brady has spoken. Speaking of highly trained golfers.
Sort of.
Tom Brady was asked if he was indeed talking to the Dolphins.
Oh.
And was Bruce Arians in his targets, too? Did he have a problem with Arians being his coach?
Someone asked him that?
Both of those things were asked of Tom Brady today. Ooh. So we've got those sound bites to play for you. Nice. Why would you move anywhere? Let's take a break. When we come back, the great Rex Chapman on the Rich Eisen Show. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it. And don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique 1/4 moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. Back here in the terrestrial radio outfit, here on Peacock at Sirius XM. Love this guy. Love everything about him. We saw him just in this very chair to my right a couple of weeks ago when he was out here in Los Angeles, California. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line to chop it up about the NBA and last night's Game 3 Celtics victory in Boston is none other than former NBA player and outstanding human, Rex Chapman, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, Rex Chapman?
Hey, Rich Eisen. How are you, buddy?
Well, I have instructed everyone here to not use any foul language while you're on
Thank
this program,
you.
Okay?
Thank you.
What did you make of all that with Klay Thompson's commentary after the game last night?
I heard your intro, okay. And Klay is one of my favorite players, if not my favorite player. I love that guy. I love everything about him. I love him as a person. I was texting with you a few nights ago about him. Mm-hmm. Just that what he's doing right now, most of the league wouldn't have done. He was off for 2 years. He's come back to play while everybody's in prime condition, sharpness, no rust, and he's putting himself out there like this. He's also playing great. I mean, for mortals. he's a special player, and for him to say, you've never heard Klay say anything like what he said last night about the fans, right? Ever. Because he's always had every bit of confidence, and confidence is such a beautiful thing when you have it and when you don't. And Klay knows what kind of player he is and the player he'll probably be in the fall. And right now you can just see his gears grinding sometimes. His timing is off. You've never seen him overwhelmed defensively by anyone, not Kawhi, not anyone. Klay, one of the best two-way defenders ever. You know, occasionally he'll get overwhelmed by Jason Tatum right now or Jaylen Brown with their athleticism. And you've never seen that happen. So he's going through something that is sort of nightmarish as an athlete. We give players crap. I don't want to say shit. But we give players.
You just did, Rex. But go on.
I don't want to say shit.
Careful.
He's going through some stuff that we give players a lot of stuff for being soft and not playing.
Right.
He's playing, man. He's doing this. He's not doing it, you know, for himself. He could have sat out and not shown the world how off he is at this point, you know, from game to game. But he can still get hot. Klay's playing through this, and I give him all the love in the world. And for him to say something like that last night after a game, you know, it is after a loss. None of that stuff matters when you're playing and you're feeling so well. And as we've seen, Klay has never said anything like that before. He's just in his head some.
So you see that statement, potentially, Rex Chapman, as maybe an indication that something isn't 100% with him, and that frustration along with the loss combines for him to say something out of character on that front.
I do. And, you know, look, all of us have been in arenas where they say foul, nasty stuff. And there's always been sort of an unwritten code or rule between fans and players that you don't say vulgar stuff around kids. Like, you know, especially if you're yelling at the players and say something that the player might want to yell back at you. If there are kids around, you just don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But also, it motivates you as a player. We know what kind of player Stephen and Klay have been on the road for years now. They're killers. They're killers. And so for Klay to just, you know, say something about the fans last night, I thought, oh, crap, he's in his head a little bit.
Rex Chapman, 12-year NBA veteran, the Rex Chapman podcast, and so many other shows that Rex...
Check it out. Check out CNN Plus.
CNN Plus as well. Your show there as well. At Rex Chapman, a must-follow on Twitter. You are just so awesome with your account. Right here on the Rich Eisen show. So the nether region for the Warriors that is Draymond Green's game not matching his physical intensity, right? Where the best part of his game is that he gets under your skin while he's beating you on the stat sheet and on the scoreboard. We're in that. We seem to be two out of the first three games where he's not on the stat sheet and the Warriors are not on the scoreboard, but he's still doing his stuff that those Celtics are, what, just shrugging off? Is that where we're at with him? How do you assess Draymond Green through the first three games of these finals, Rex?
I'm a Draymond fan. Obviously, he's a polarizing guy and player, which I kind of like. But when they don't win, and he scores single digits, nobody says anything. When they win, he scores single. He's a guy who's easy to pick on because he's not an offensive guy. You can pick on his stats all the time because he, you know, never scores a bunch of points. And I think, look, they're going through, they haven't played with Clay in 2 years, and some of these guys have never played with Clay ever. They're trying to work him back in. Jordan Poole was phenomenal down the stretch of the season, but if you see last night on the road, Jordan Poole, you know, his biggest game of his life, you could tell, you know, look, they need Clay out there and not Jordan Poole, you know, just for reasons of maturity and experience. So I just think that, you know, Clay being off a little bit, they're trying to look, Boston's good, man. They're good. Marcus Smart is tremendous. You know, I was just thinking about this yesterday. Think about the journey he's been on. He was drafted, supposed to be drafted in the top three or four, but he fell in the draft because he went into the stands when somebody said something in college. Remember that? At Oklahoma State. It's just fun to see his maturity, and he's kind of the Boston Celtics glue at this point. It's just kind of been fun to watch.
I don't know if you heard this, Rex Chapman here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know if you saw this tweet on your Twitter feed, but I did. Brockman, I think you're the one who put it on my Twitter feed because you retweeted it saying this should be made into a T-shirt.
Absolutely.
That apparently when the Celtics were having turnover problems last night, and as we all know, that's their Achilles heel, right? Mm-hmm. So they're having turnover problems. Ime Udoka calls timeout. And according to a source, stepped into the huddle and said, quote, "Will you guys stop playing like a-holes?" End quote.
Nice.
And
nice.
I figured, right? Like,
he said a-hole because he didn't want to say ass.
Yes. Well, he did actually say the full word, but, you know, that's the phrase. The theme of the day is earmuffs, right?
Yeah, asshole.
So,
that's
right.
That's
so, right. So what do you think, you know, of his effectiveness here and how clearly the Celtics have bought and gobbled up and are absolutely physically and mentally and spiritually embodying whatever he's selling right now?
I couldn't love it more. I grew up first a Sixers fan and then kind of switched to the Lakers. I was never a Boston fan, never. And over the years, I've grown to root for Boston. Danny Ainge is a good buddy, of course, and Austin Ainge is there in the front office. I root for them on a personal level, but I don't know. The fan base, you can hate them or love them, and for basketball purposes and baseball purposes, I really dig their passion. It's really unlike any place you go. It can border on going over the line at times. But they love their teams. It's a great place to play as an opponent. If you like playing on the road, you love going to Boston. I mean, just from a competitive standpoint, because there's nothing like winning on the road there and shutting them up.
Well, you played in the old Boston Garden, Rex, right? So what are your memories of that from back in the day?
Oh, man, it was such a dump. It looked so pretty on TV. And, you know, the parquet and the bright orange and it was awful. They kept the locker room like 90 degrees, 95 degrees. Oh, and you know those showers that you had in high school with like one center pole and then six spigots all around that pole? Well, they had one of those, but only one of the spigots worked. And it had like cold water dripping out of it. That's how you had to take your showers after the game, seniority-wise, one at a time. It was terrible. Had rats in there. It was awful.
Well, I think the gremlins still exist, Rex. Did you hear that the warm-up for the Warriors last night was delayed a little bit because the rim was 2 inches higher?
I saw that.
Apparently the gremlins are still there in Boston.
Pretty funny. I like it. But you know what's funny about that is every player, the second they step out on the floor, can tell if the rim is right or not.
Is that
just
right?
Just by looking at it. You walk up to it, and there's something that's just wrong. You can kind of put your arm up there, measure, and go, yeah, that's low, or yeah, that's high, just after being out there for so long.
You could tell something's 2 inches off.
Oh, you can tell if it's an inch off or a half inch off. Yes. No question.
That's incredible.
Rex, you loved playing against Boston. Career 16 a game. Most ever points you scored against a team against Boston. 500 points in 31 games.
Wow. Did you know that?
How is the Celtics killer? I bet we beat them twice.
Were you? Did you and Larry Bird ever cross paths? Did that ever happen?
Yeah. Yeah. My first year was Kareem's last year.
Mm-hmm.
So Larry was still good, but he was just starting to have back issues. And so I remember playing them the first time, and I don't know why, I just hated Larry Bird growing up. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like him. I was a Dr. J guy. Mm-hmm. Also, my whole life, until I stepped on the floor with him, I just assumed, they said Larry's 6'9". He looked like 6'6 to me on TV. And so I stepped out on the floor with him, and I went, oh, my God. He's as big as a doorway, 6'9", 6'10". And I remember Kelly Trepuka was going to guard him.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Jerry Seasting on our team who had played with Larry.
Yes.
And Jerry had told us, Larry, in shoot-around, he said, Larry says no man in the world 6'6 or under can guard him. And he takes offense to it. And so, if you notice a lot, even when Boston played the Bulls, Michael didn't match up with Larry a lot. It was Scotty, it was Horace, the bigger guy.
Mm.
Well, we put Kelly Trepuka on him, and we went out for the jump ball, and we were going to run whatever it was. And Larry looked at the rest of us and said, "You guys are putting Trepuka on me?" And nobody said anything, and he just said, all right, guys, whatever we're running, forget it. Four down. And he just started running Kelly into the post, calling his own play. And within four possessions, he'd had, you know, two baskets, an and one, an assist, and, you know, had to mix it up. Kelly was no longer on him.
I love it. John Sally told us a similar story the other day when he was here. He said that he didn't say four down. He screamed mouse in the house.
Right.
But it was Sally on him. They put Sally on him. And he told Sally, you're going to need some help, is what he told him.
Larry was so good. You know, he was good. Like, only so many greats can go out there and kind of mess around with the game and still be great. You know, Charles could do that. And Larry could do that, you know, and there were times we were the Charlotte Hornets. This is a team that literally just came into existence. You think he cared about playing against us? No. And so he'd come in there and, he's famous for playing one whole game left-handed one time. You know, he used things to motivate him. I think he got bored with the game at times and had to make up games within the games to stay engaged until the very end.
I can't even imagine what that's like to compete against somebody like that.
And you know what was crazy, Rich? The craziest part, it was kind of like Chris Mullin in a way.
Yeah.
Is that I liked guarding them until they effing scored because they weren't athletic. They were slow. You knew that you could keep them in front of you,
right.
And they still scored.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love it. So
they didn't call him legend for nothing.
Nicely done, Christopher.
They didn't. And I do, you know, everybody does this now where we try to rank all the greats.
Right.
Every time somebody puts out a top five that doesn't have Larry in it, I kind of go, what are we doing? to this day, he was amazing. I just, you know, I think we sleep on him anymore because he wasn't a highlight dunker. He was one of the greatest players to ever lace him up. And I don't know who I would take out of the top five, but he's up there. Magic, too. I'm biased. I'm old. Sorry.
No, you and me both, Rex Chapman. Before I let you go, what do you think Steve Kerr and his staff are trying to cook up right now? It's only a one-game respite. They come right back on Friday. Steph was down on the floor last night. He's clearly not 100%. You already mentioned how Clay isn't the guy that he's going to be this coming fall, even. And Draymond looks neutralized. Let's be honest with what we're seeing through the first two Celtics wins. What do you think he and his staff are cooking up right now?
I don't know that they have to cook up a whole lot. I think that if Stephen is okay physically, I think they win game four. And the reason for that is Boston's still a young team. It's the first time they've ever been through this. And when you lose a game in the playoffs, the next, you know, 48 hours are absolute heck. I didn't want to say hell, but they're absolute hell because you're watching film. Every soundbite you see, every Twitter thing that comes across your feed is negative, and it's just killing you, and how bad you are and how hurt you look and how rusty you look and all that. When you win, and especially at home, it's nothing but great stuff. Pats on the back, sleep in your own bed. Nothing can replicate the hurt and despair you feel after a loss in the playoffs. You can't, Ime Udoka cannot impart it on his team enough. They can't understand that Golden State is going to come out with a completely different attitude and mindset than they did in Game 3. I think that carries them if Stephen's okay. And look, Clay's going to have, and look, we still know Clay can just pop off and get 35 or 40. He can. And that's all they need him to do. He can still do that. I just don't know that he can be consistent, you know, every single night at the level that we desire for him to be just yet.
Rex, you're the man. What can I tell my people is going on in your world that we should know about? The Rex Chapman podcast, your show with CNN, correct?
That's all. Just hanging out. Rex Chapman podcast, my show with Josh Hopkins, and
that's right. Mr. John Hopkins. Let's give him the appropriate title.
Yes, that's all, buddy.
Okay, man.
Good talking to you.
And then your Twitter feed, which is just phenomenal. I always appreciate following what you got going on. Honestly, you let me know what movies come out, what songs come out. It's unbelievable.
Oh God!
Honestly, it's amazing.
Fake news. It's fake news, Rich.
No,
you can find your news elsewhere.
Take care of yourself, Rex Chapman. Thanks again,
hey, buddy.
You got
Thanks,
it. The great hey, Rex Chapman at Rex Chapman on Twitter. Must follow. Must follow. How about that? That Clay making an out of character comment about the fans is an indication of his frustration level. And maybe an indication of his frustration level born out of knowing he's not the 100% Clay that's necessary to potentially shut these fans up.
He had a good game, too.
I know that, but I you know, you need a sharpshooter and a 12-year veteran like Rex to be able to diagnose that.
Right.
You know, you could just, because you can already see the commentary. Like, what a whiner, what a baby, what a crybaby. And he's like, well, deep down, he knows, you know, there's another old Klay Thompson gear that's required to shut these fans up in game four. And if not game four, game six, if they're fortunate to actually extend this series to that. And he, heart of hearts, might think that gear might not be there yet. How about that as a two cents on that? And how many times did Rex say, I don't want to say this word, and then says it? Was that three times in that conversation?
Yeah, Smith actually texted
might
me.
Might have been four.
Not happy. Not happy. With
Can I do? I mean, it's live television and radio, so we appreciate those in the radio audience for understanding. And I love Rex Chapman. I love everything about him. I'm sure his Twitter feed will be filled tonight with commentary about the live coverage of the Select Committee on the dust-up.
I think that's the official word.
The dust up.
The official.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Jack Del Rio apologized for that in a statement that has absolutely no standing when looking at his entire Twitter feed.
It was just nice of Jack to leave the quotes in from the PR team.
Yes, the dust up.
Couldn't bother to delete the quotes.
Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're going to set up Michael Wilbon joining us at the top of hour number two. Do you know how in the sports world there are teams that succeed and the rest of the league wonders how they're doing it? And I'm just saying how do they keep pulling that off? How do they keep doing that.
The and Patriots sometimes for 20 years in football.
Correct. Yeah. Like, that's one of them. And you know, but the Patriots in football was just like, well, they're not playing by the same rules as everyone else. And then it would come back that, you know, outside of the videoing and anything else, yeah, you know, they're playing by the same stuff as everyone else. And then the conspiracy theories hit, right? That's when the conspiracy theories would go crazy. Hey, folks, the ball that Tom Brady threw that was brought to the attention of the National Football League that sparked Deflategate and a huge to-do with an investigation and then a suspension of Brady, that ball was intercepted by the opponent. So usually there's really no there. It's a bunch of, may I say, air.
Hey.
We're seeing it again right now with the defending world champion Los Angeles Rams, where the concept is everybody's playing by the same rules and the same salary cap. How the hell do they keep doing this? How the hell do they keep doing this? And the this is...
just wait till they bring back Odell.
Signing every one of their major players back for a nine-figure deal. And, yeah, sometimes when you sign a nine-figure deal, there's a lot of phony money in it. It's just really a one-year deal dressed up based on... you got to take a look at all the guaranteed dollars that are thrown in there. Well, the latest deal from the Rams, Aaron Donald, was a deal with just, it's all about real money. There wasn't any years added to it. So they basically just said, here's more money for you. Like I said on a previous program, I've never seen a deal where a team rips up a deal. It's for the same amount of time. And it's for more money. But Aaron Donald is a unicorn. And everybody's like, how the hell are they doing that when Jalen Ramsey's making that? And they redo making that much. And they redo Matthew Stafford's deal. And they go out and sign Allen Robinson. And now, when I had Les Snead on the program the day after the Aaron Donald deal, and I'm like, Cooper Kupp's next, right? And he goes, well, yeah, they got to do this. We got to do that.
Sure,
do
beneficial for both sides.
Yeah, and all that stuff. And, you know, Les was making the fine print, printed out. He's probably printing the contract. The contract was probably printing on the machine. He's probably putting more toner in the copy machine up there in Thousand Oaks.
Just sandbagging us.
He never sandbags us.
He knew a deal was close.
Well, I mean, he probably knew. But what do you think he's going to say? No, something on the Rich Eisen show?
I mean, we're friends.
But I'm like, so there's money left in the, you know. The old show, it's not so old, Arrested Development on Fox. Brilliant program. Everybody should, if you haven't seen it before, brilliant. And for you millennials, it's the guy from Ozark. I can't believe I have to say that.
And the guy from Veep.
Right. And Lego Batman, you know. Brilliant program. Brilliant, brilliant show where... there was the phrase that the father would always tell the children, there's always money in the banana stand. And they thought it was a euphemism. It was a turn of the phrase. But sure enough, spoiler alert, there was a banana stand for the family, and they actually had money in the walls. Maybe that's what they're doing for the Rams. Maybe it's just one big banana stand, and there's money in the walls that the league doesn't know. Because Cooper Kupp got signed yesterday. And he's now handled to the tune of a gajillion dollars. And he's now making market value, top of the market value. And this sort of stuff, I'm telling you, plays into the minds of every fan base. Every fan base is now looking like, how the hell are they? Like, is the NFL paying attention to what's going on with the Rams? As if they're just sneaking it past the goalie. Yeah, the league's too busy with the Washington Commanders going up in flames to figure out what's going on with the Rams' salary cap. No. The league can most assuredly walk and chew gum at the same time. Absolutely. But I'm also, you know, if I'm a Niner fan, I'm like, how the hell is Debo not signed yet? And Bosa's got to go. And the Rams win it all, beat us in the process of doing that. And they get Donald handled, and they get Kupp handled, and they get Stafford re-signed. And they got Jalen Ramsey still. And they just, and by the way, they signed Bobby Wagner. They gave him $10 million a year.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Wagner's on the team.
Yeah. Take him from Seattle, put him on our team, and we're going to still give Donald more money just because we are just so magnanimous and love the guy. And the Niners are like going to have to do Bosa. And Debo's there and they're working on their relationship. And the Rams have got a trophy in the case, a ring ceremony coming up this summer, an unveiling and a banner raising coming up this fall. And Kupp's handled and Donald's handled and the quarterback's handled and the cornerback has already been handled. And the defense is made stronger by taking the surefire Hall of Famer from one of their opponents, who now have a battle between Drew Locke and Geno Smith for the quarterback spot because they traded away Russell Wilson. And Kyler Murray is still making sure that he gets his money. Otherwise, this piece of paper that I had on my desk will start to be put into effect of wanting to get out of there. And the Rams are like sitting back and saying, F all that cap. Unbelievable. Les Snead already general manager of the year. And the whole team is as happy as a clam. And why not? Because they, because the front office has done everything to just tell Sean McVay, biting his wedding cake and then getting married and being a happy camper.
Handle it.
Guess what?
You coach.
You coach.
We got everything.
We got everything handled, and the rest of the locker room is just walking around like, yes, we're part of an organization that does us right.
Gets it.
And we still haven't gotten our rings yet, and the banner's going up. And we know we can win games right now, and we also know Odell could be there too, because there's always money in the banana stand. And you know they'll figure it out. And why the hell wouldn't Odell want to join this team? With all due respect to Green Bay and Kansas City and whoever else is playing in the AFC West or anybody else who has a shot to win it. Why would Odell look anywhere else if he wants to be here in Los Angeles as a resident? The colors of the sky are Rams colors, folks.
Well, Rich, it's whose house?
Rams house. But the Chargers fans will also say it's more powder blue of a sky anyway. But my point is this. It's the Rams world. We're paying rent in it, folks. They got to play games. You got to play games. The Buffalo Bills are the first to come in and try and crash this party. Kind of like apparently Odell did for the wedding. Although Les said, you know, Odell is most likely invited. I don't know why he was termed as a wedding crasher like he's Owen Wilson. But there you go, man. I think it plays in the minds of other, definitely fans who are like, how the hell are they doing this?
Is this basically,
how the hell are they doing
is this the new Brady has messed with all the quarterbacks? Now the Rams are getting in all these other teams' heads?
I can't imagine that the Niners don't have a plan already to just pull the trigger on Bosa whenever that's supposedly ready to do. I mean, again, they're not just walking around fumbling for a light switch up there. But I mean, honestly, one team in Seattle lost their trade away their quarterback and lost their heart and soul to their defense. Another team in Arizona, we're wondering what's going on there. Their best receiver suspended for the first six games. I had talked about the Niners with Debo working on the relationship, and the Rams are like, go to the banana stand and get more money.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.